Here we go. KGNU listeners, and welcome to Black Talk. Regular listeners, welcome back and thank you. My name is Michelle Simpson, and I have the honor and privilege of hosting Black Talk, which is a culmination of a collaboration between the Boulder County NAACP and KGNU. Black Talk seeks to center Black voices, Black thought, and Black vision. And so in keeping with that objective, today's program, we're going to take a look at Juneteenth. And we're going to take a special look at how Juneteenth is going to be celebrated in Boulder County in 2022. But before we dive in, let's begin at the beginning. Juneteenth marks the effective end of slavery in the United States. Juneteenth is shorthand for June 19th. Which was the day when federal troops arrived in Galveston, Texas. The year was 1865. And these troops arrived in Galveston to take control of the state and to ensure that all enslaved people were freed. It's important to understand that the troops' arrival came a full 2.5 years after. Let me repeat that. A full 2.5 years after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. So initially, Juneteenth was primarily recognized in Texas by Black folks in Texas, but eventually spread across the country, most especially as Black Texans began to emigrate and move outside of the state. On June 17th, 2021, Juneteenth became a federal holiday after lifetimes, and I mean lifetimes of effort by individuals like Miss Opal Lee. And some of you may remember Miss Opal Lee from last Juneteenth in last year. She was featured during Boulder County's Juneteenth celebration in 2021. And just for a bit of Colorado context, there was a Juneteenth bill signing that took place on Monday, May the 2nd, making Juneteenth a state holiday. So if you're wondering about, okay, got the national picture, have the historical picture. So if you're wondering what's going to be happening in Boulder County this Juneteenth, I have the pleasure of introducing several Boulder County community leaders who've been working tirelessly again this year to ensure a memorable, a meaningful, as well as a celebratory Juneteenth. So we're going to begin with some introductions. And so Annette, I'd like to start with you, and I'd like you to just kind of state your name and tell us a little bit about, again, your connection to Boulder County, to the Boulder County community.
I'm Annette, and I am currently the president of the NAACP Boulder County branch. I've lived in Boulder since 1979. So I'm starting to refer to it as my home. My goal here is to create fair, equitable communities for all people to thrive. And so that's why I do the work that I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here too. Okay, DeAndre, Dr. DeAndre, you're next.
Yes, thank you, Michelle. First off, thank you for having me and inviting us to discuss Juneteenth in Boulder County. My name is Dr. DeAndre Taylor. I was a long-term Boulder resident from 2015 to 2021, and Boulder has become my second home, and I am so thankful for that opportunity, and particularly when it comes to this opportunity with the Boulder County Juneteenth celebrations. This is my second year being a part of the Planning Committee, and I take pride in bringing awareness for this monumental occasion to celebrate Juneteenth. and what it, all that it represents. So I'm just so honored to be a part of that plan and committed to bring these events and this awareness to the Boulder Valley.
No, well, thank you for joining us today on Black Talk. So appreciate you being here. Alicia Graves, can we hear from you?
I'm Alicia Graves. I am the education chair for the NAACP Boulder County Branch. I don't know what else I'm supposed to say. I'll be introducing myself.
That's okay. That's good enough. That's good enough. We'll learn more as we go along. And Ms. Madeline, are you there and able to introduce yourself?
Yes, ma'am. I am Madeline Strong Woodley and a member of the Boulder County Branch NAACP, a lifelong member committed to volunteerism. I'm a retiree from FedEx Corporation after 30 years. And but here in Boulder, Boulder County, once I decided to make it my home, been here since 07. And working with these fine, outstanding people here in Boulder County with President Annette James, Dr. DeAndre Taylor, Alicia Graves, Dr. Michelle Simpson. Oh my, I'm just honored. But I tell you one thing, Dr. DeAndre Taylor, this is his second year spearheading this effort. Last year was our first Boulder County celebration. And then this year, though he is remote, he has picked the ball up, and it's as if he never left. So I'm just honored to be here. And I'm with Executive Committee for African American Cultural Events, AKA ECASE, and a lifelong member since 1994 of the NAACP.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. And thank you for being here. So before we get into what Boulder County can look forward to this Juneteenth, I wanted to ask each of you to reflect, if you would, on your personal experience with Juneteenth. So when I say your personal experience, I mean, when did you first hear about Juneteenth? When did you first learn about it? And when you did, what was your reaction? What was, again, your response to it? Let's start with you, DeAndre.
You know, you said when I first heard about Juneteenth, I had an instant smile on my face. And I'm originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Milwaukee actually has one of the larger Juneteenth events in the country. And as a kid, the events would span, I mean, blocks upon blocks on Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard. And I've always known about Juneteenth since I was a little boy. It was just something that happened on June 19th every year. And whether that June 19th fell on a Saturday or Sunday, we celebrated Juneteenth on actual Juneteenth. And it was all about festives. It was all about festive, the community coming together. So as a boy, I always knew about Juneteenth, but it wasn't until maybe 8 or 9 that I actually knew what Juneteenth meant and what it represented. Okay. And it was always community events. I mean, it was always celebrations. You know, so I always had this idea that Juneteenth, and I always knew it was a Black holiday because, quite frankly, I only saw Black folks when we went down to eat the corn and smell the barbecue and ride the horses and see the parade and all those great things, see the clowns and all those great things that were taking place. But it wasn't until maybe 8, 9 years old that I realized what Juneteenth was. And I had the honor of attending Malcolm X Academy for middle school. And it was a middle school centered around Black curriculum and Black history in the United States. And we learn more about Juneteenth and what it meant. And so as a boy, I always knew about Juneteenth my entire life. This is nothing that is new to me. And it wasn't until 8, 9 that I learned about what it was and what it represented. And then in middle school, you know, those formative years, we had a deep immersion in understanding particularly Black history. And we talked about a great deal each year what Juneteenth meant.
Got it. Thank you for sharing that. Ms. Madeline, how about you? What's your background in, when it comes to Juneteenth? When did you first learn about it? How was it reflected, you know, in your life?
Okay, let me go back. as far as my parents were always very active, social justice. And so there weren't many events or situations or projects, I'll call them, that I was not exposed to at an early age. However, I became more involved about 8 years ago with my interaction with LMAC, being one of the pioneer members of LMAC.
And what is that?
Longmont Multicultural Action Committee.
Okay.
And so as a pioneer member of that group, we started out with about four, as I recall. At any rate, as a result of a community cry, I mean, and they were saying, well, you're always talking about not being invisible and wanting to promote the African-American culture, Black folk culture. You're always talking about that. But is there nothing more that you can do than Martin Luther King celebration, which we look forward to annually, and or Black History Month? So, of course, my reply was absolutely. And you will get it. So dating back to then, and it was actually a Councilwoman, Polly Christensen, that kept raising it. So we started out, because my first response, Michelle, was, they don't know what Juneteenth is. So it's critical that we teach them and we spend time just educating. And that's what we did up until last year when, I'll let Dr. DeAndre go into that in terms of us meeting, being exposed to the grandmother of Juneteenth, Ms. Opoli.
Yeah.
But I hope that answered your question.
No, it was wonderful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Alicia, what do you have for us? Your Juneteenth reflection.
So I didn't grow up hearing or knowing about what Juneteenth was. I don't think that when I was listening to everyone else kind of answer the question, trying to remember the first time that I heard about it, I think I was probably, it would have been after I'd watched a movie, and I think it was probably 12 Years a Slave, and was trying to learn everything that I could afterwards, and heard about it in documentaries about when the enslaved Black people were truly freed. And that was probably the first time that I heard that word. So it would probably have been in my mid to late 30s. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a big part of why I feel so passionate about doing this work and celebrating our seniors on Juneteenth, is because I want to ensure that they are learning about these holidays and these celebrations and our history and culture in ways that I don't think that I was given and afforded as a Black child and really an adult until my 40s. So,
No, and that's okay. You know, everybody came to it and has come to it in their way and in their time. And when you mentioned seniors, you're referencing Boulder County graduated Black high school seniors, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, great. Annette, how about you?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm from the South. And so being from the South, I certainly heard of Juneteenth in my teens, I would say. Mm-hmm. And in my community, we celebrated May 8th. So May 8th was the day that my community has a historical documentation to learning about the Emancipation Proclamation having been signed.
Okay.
So I guess as a kid, you kind of just put it all together, right? It was another moving across the country so that enslaved Black folk were made aware of the signing of the document. Mm-hmm. So, but then I would say, you know, later in life, maybe college, I started to look at just the real history of Juneteenth. And the more you learn about it, the more you know that I would argue that it might be the most important holiday to this country and to the making of this country that we have. And, you know, we grew up with small celebrations. And even in Boulder, when I came to Boulder in late 70s, there was United Black Women of Boulder Valley mm-hmm. would have a Juneteenth picnic. Mm-hmm. But the difference is it was a very insular community hanging out at Evan Fine Park and, mm-hmm. and sharing food. Like Dr. Taylor said, it was a Black thing So there was a small group of, you know, Black people in the Boulder community who would get together and share food and, right. and talk about it. And the same is what happened, I think, in the South. But I think making it a holiday will force, now that it is an official holiday, it gives everybody an opportunity to come in and be festive and to learn about this great day in American history.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. No, well, thank you, everyone. So, DeAndrea, coming back your way, because as Ms. Madeline mentioned, this is not Boulder County's, and Annette just alluded to it, this is not Boulder County's first Juneteenth celebration. So can you tell us a little bit about last year? Because last year we were virtual, but can you tell us a bit more about that and how that unfolded and what it looked like?
Absolutely. So last year was a mix of virtual, but also in person. You know, obviously mm-hmm. we know where we were coming off the heels of COVID and all of those great things, but it was a first time. And I want to make mention of this. This is the Boulder Valley, you know, mm-hmm. Celebration of Juneteenth. Denver has a huge celebration of Juneteenth. Erie had things that were taking place as well. And so we were able to create this opportunity for Boulder and Longmont, and now it's sort of expanding, and we're bringing all the other cities in the boat in Boulder County together as we're continuing right. on with our efforts. But last year was part of, you know, the NAACP e-case and saying, hey, we want to celebrate Juneteenth as Black folks here in this Boulder Valley. We want to celebrate Juneteenth. So there was some great meeting of the minds, and a committee was formed. And part of that, because when we met last year, the forming committee, planning committee, we all decided and we all said, based off our experience, we know that Juneteenth is about celebration. We know what Juneteenth represents, and it's about celebration. And we wanted to make sure that it was different from when we think about Black history. Juneteenth is Black history, but when we celebrate Black history in February, you know, we are very reflective of the historical things that took place. And we said we wanted Juneteenth to be about celebration, because our history as Black folks is not monolithic. And it's also doesn't start and it doesn't stop with slavery, right? Now, we also understand that Juneteenth is about the end of slavery, but that's what we want to say. We want to celebrate Black history in that moment. We want to honor and what Juneteenth represents, but we want to be celebratory in our actions. And so part of that, we said, what do we want to do? We knew it was going to be virtual. So we said, we want to bring art into this fold. We wanted to honor our youth. We are very keen in saying we want to make sure that we're uplifting the Black youth here in the Boulder Valley. So we had some youth dances. We had a student from CU who did a great, great, great dance, and she opened up the segment. And then we also highlighted the Black student unity of Boulder High School. And we talked with them about their efforts and what they're doing to support the students at Boulder High School. And then we ended our celebration with interviewing Miss Opal Lee. And part of interviewing Miss Opal Lee, we also had the opportunity to featured Faye Duncan, Alice Faye Duncan, her book that she wrote about Miss Opal Lee. You can actually find that book in Target. It's called Opal Lee, the Grandmother of Juneteenth. You can find that book in Target nationwide. But we had an opportunity for Alice Faye Duncan to share the narration and the video of that book. And then we had the honor of interviewing Miss Opal Lee, the grandmother of Juneteenth. And, you know, at the time I was an adult, you know, just a year younger than what I am now, but to be in her presence and to hear what she had to say about Juneteenth, to say that she's just a little old girl from Texas who just wanted to keep the fight and wanted to make a change in her neighborhood. And she talked about how her family experienced hard times, how her family experienced racism, and how all of those experiences of her upbringing added fuel for her to collect all those signatures, to lobby Congress, and ultimately to sit next to President Biden as he signed the Juneteenth National Holiday Act.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I was going to say, KG and you listeners, if anybody's interested in hearing one of the interviews, because she was interviewed several times in connection with the Juneteenth celebration. You can pull that up. All you have to do is Google Black Talk and pull up Opal Lee. DeAndre, is the interview you did with her, is that on YouTube?
Absolutely. If you Google E-Case, Opal Lee, it will definitely come up. So E-Case, okay. That's E-C-A-A-C-E. Mm-hmm. E-C-A-A-C-E.
Okay, wonderful. Just in case people want to look back as we look forward. So let's talk about the Juneteenth celebration 2022. Alicia, I'd like to start with you, and I'd like you to tell KGNU listeners what they can expect, because you've carved out a part of this celebration on Monday, June the 20th. And I'd like you to tell us a bit more about that. And Annette, feel free to jump in, because a lot of the inspiration for what's going to be happening on the 20th really was seeded with you. So Alicia, Annette, take it away.
So this is something that Annette has been talking to me about since I joined the NAACP Education Committee. And I just felt very driven to take this project on this year. It's felt like a really tough year for our students and our community. So I'm thinking March, we started kind of talking to Annette and our education committee about some of the logistics of it. We reached out to both of our districts to get a count of our students. And I don't know the exact number of how many graduating seniors we have, but I know that between the two districts, St. Vrain and Boulder Valley School District, there is about 62,000 students. 1% are Black or Black identifying. And it came out to about 85 to 90 of the graduating students being Black or Black identifying. Okay. And so really wanting to find a way to honor and celebrate their accomplishment of making it through 12 years of school, our education system and all of the complications and trauma and social, emotional, just stresses that kind of come along with that. And we see that so much in the work that we do within our committee and in the branch. And so some of the ideas that we kind of came up with came from the work that Annette has done previously. And so it was providing each student with a kente cloth that they would be able to wear at graduation and a junior membership in the NAACP that would follow them, whether they stay within our branch. It's a national membership, which we thought was very important because it helps to sort of foster that community, regardless of where they go. And some type of monetary gift, which as I've kind of continued to work on this project, has become more and more important to me. We talk a lot about the generational wealth issues that come up in our Black families and things like that. And I'm seeing some of that sort of play out in some of my other friends that are graduating, and really just wanting to make sure that we do everything that we can to honor and recognize their achievements, and not so much what they're going to be doing, but really what they've done, and helping to sort of start them off in that process. So this is the first year that our NAACP Boulder County branch has done it. We got about half of the students responded to the form that was sent out, which was very exciting, I think, and it was a really good turnout response. We tried to decide how best to celebrate them, and it being the end of the school year and with the NAACP now celebrating Juneteenth in the way that it does, it just felt like a great way to sort of marry these two events together. Mm-hmm. And so Miss Madeline graciously allowed us to have June 20th as the date that we would celebrate and do it. And it will be at Boulder High School. All of the students will come together. We'll have a choir, a live band, and Selassie will be there with West African drums, and it's going to be very participatory with the audience and sort of get everyone warmed up as we just do everything that we can to love on and honor our students. And we will have a keynote speaker, which will be Dr. James Hill, who is the only Black principal within all two of the school districts, which is nearly 115 schools. So it's a humongous accomplishment, and we're very honored to have him come and speak. And he's also, I think, if he is not already, has been promoted to area superintendent for Boulder Valley School Districts. So we're very fortunate to have him there and to have him speak to our students.
No, absolutely. Annette, is there anything you wanted to add? Thank you, Alicia. Is there anything you wanted to add to that?
Oh, Alicia, I think that you covered it extremely thorough. I think, you know, overall, the goal is for our students to understand that there is a village for them. And I like to call it the Bold Village for our Black students. And so that's the mission of the Education Committee. And Alicia has done a magnificent job bringing this particular project to life. So thank you.
You are listening to Black Talk on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. For a very long time, I've been fascinated by Juneteenth stories. By that, I mean fascinated to learn how long people have been celebrating, when they first heard about Juneteenth. So to feed my curiosity, I asked a smattering of Boulder and Denver Black folks, young and not so young, to share their Juneteenth memories, their Juneteenth experiences. I'd like to ask you now to please listen and enjoy a few of those reflections.
Hello, my name is Audrey, and when I first learned about Juneteenth, I thought, well, why weren't we taught this in school? And later on, I just kind of realized, well, of course, we weren't taught this in school because it's a tainted version of history. It's unlike what we learn in the textbooks, which is often sugar-coated to make like one group seem more heroic than they actually are. I feel like this is a part of history where, you know, it kind of looks bad on that group. For example, not being like the, not after the Emancipation Proclamation, not being made aware to the slaves that, you know, they were actually free, and especially in Texas, and them continuing slavery for 2 years, which is weird. But, you know, I feel that every time where the topic of Black excellence or Black resilience has an opportunity to be mentioned, it's often overlooked. And I feel like us as the Black body, we're often minimized to only pain and suffering or every other type of negative connotation, you know? And it's very mind-boggling because you don't really often hear any positive connotations that have to do with like the Black community, especially when it comes to, like, as I said, as I mentioned, Black excellence or Black resilience, for example, like, you know, the things that we use in our day-to-day lives, like traffic lights or the modern toilet or like the touchscreen phone that we have. All of those things have been invented by Black creators, Black inventors, and nobody knows this unless they go out and look at it on their own, which I feel I had to do to be able to learn about Juneteenth. I don't recall a time where I was taught this in school. And this, it's really sad because I grew up thinking that Black people history, our history began when we were introduced to white people, as if slavery was the beginning of our history and as if we didn't have our own history prior to being forcefully enslaved. Unfortunately, that's just how, that's just how the education system kind of works in America. And it feels that the white history is the given. White history is like the core curriculum, while if you want to learn about Black people or any person of color's history, that's like an elective. And, you know, I feel like we should change that. But, you know, I digress. Learning about Juneteenth has helped me become more aware of my people's history. And although I do not personally, I do not celebrate the holiday, I think it's really important for all of us, especially the people in the Black community, to know what we had to go through, to know the tainted versions of certain parts of history.
My name's Courtney, and when I first learned about Juneteenth, I thought, what is this? What's going on? I was a little girl, I think maybe about around 7, and I grew up in Midland, Texas. And I remember my mom and the rest of my family going to this big celebration, and I wasn't really sure what was going on. I remember asking her what was this Juneteenth celebration about, and I also asked, because of the town that I grew up in, I wasn't really used to seeing a bunch of Black people in one area celebrating like this. And so I asked what was going on. And she had told me, I remember with a smile on her face, actually, she had told me that this Juneteenth celebration was about enslaved Black people where I was from Texas, and learning about their freedom. And I remember seeing a bunch of people smiling and laughing and celebrating. There were a bunch of different booths that were set up with different food and cool activities like face painting and all the cool things like that. And wow, just how special it was just to be in a place, one of the first times really, just being in a place where so many people looked like me. And how special that felt. I saw young kids, older adults, families together, just celebrating being Black. And it was a really, really special experience. And it was an experience that I won't forget, especially as my first time at a Juneteenth celebration back in Midland, Texas. And I think it's one of the first times where, thinking back, I really felt like I belonged. And I really just felt welcomed, and I felt seen and heard. And it was a place where I could just be and laugh and spend time with my family. It was a really special event, and just an event that I'll never forget. And I'm very grateful that my mom explained to me what the history was behind it, and that she took me to this Juneteenth event. And I'm glad that we had the Juneteenth event as well. It'll be one of my best memories that I'll never forget.
I'm Annette. I first heard of Juneteenth in my mid-teens from a family member. And at that time, I thought, like some or maybe many have thought of Juneteenth, as just a small but somewhat pivotal moment in American history. But later, after studying and learning more about the conditions, the reasons, and the events that embodies the making of Juneteenth, it was without question that this date, June 19, 1865, is forever contained in the nucleus of this country. Is it possible to discuss Juneteenth without examining chattel slavery, without examining the reasons for the Civil War, without examining why there was a need for an Emancipation Proclamation, and why we had the signing of the 13th Amendment? You know, at this time of the year, I like to read some firsthand accounts of people receiving their freedom, a learning of their freedom. And I especially like one from Felix Haywood. And Felix Haywood was a former enslaved man in the Galveston, Texas area. And he learned of his freedom from General Order Number 3. And I love what he said when this order was being read. He said, everybody went wild. We all felt proud. We felt like heroes. Just like that, we were free. So let's all acknowledge that we are all descendants of the making of Juneteenth. So we should all celebrate Juneteenth Freedom Day.
My name is Selassie. And when I first learned about Juneteenth in the early 2000s, which is when I migrated from Ghana to the U.S., I thought Juneteenth was meant to celebrate Black youth in their accomplishments, like graduating from high school or middle school or whatever it is. Or just, I thought it was just a celebration to honor and celebrate Black youth. And I think I got this from when I first came to the U.S. early 2000s, and I paid a visit to Wisconsin, and I witnessed a very elaborate celebration, a Juneteenth celebration, which involved just honoring Black youth. I thought that was what it was about. And I do feel ashamed to admit that it was not until George Floyd's murder, May of 2020, that I took the time to do my research and learned the actual history behind Juneteenth. I think the 2020 Juneteenth, because of George Floyd's murder, that particular year's Juneteenth gained a lot of interest and attention from the media and the general public as a whole. I have felt a much more urgent need to get involved in any way I can to add my voice in denouncing white supremacy. And this includes finding ways and means to get white folks as allies to fight against racism and discrimination. I think it's by encouraging such open-minded white folks to use their white privileges to help fight the systemic racism and discrimination in America and beyond. Thank you. When we could fly. Slip the bonds of earth and rise so high. We could fly across the mountains together, hand in hand, searching, always searching for the promised land.
Let us now return to our conversation with several of the planners of the 2022 Boulder County Juneteenth Commemoration and Celebration. We are joined by Alicia Graves, Annette James, DeAndre Taylor, and Ms. Madeline Woodley. So, Ms. Madeline, Dr. DeAndre, tell us, what else can we look forward to? Because as I understand it, this year's celebration is bigger and grander, and will span, what is it, 5 days? Do I have that right?
It will span 5 days, absolutely. And that's what it's about. It's about growing and making sure that we're continuing to build on what we set last year. So last year we had two flag raising ceremonies where we had the city of Boulder participate, and we also had the city of Longmont participate. This year, we're kicking off on June 16th, which is a Thursday, and we're pleased to say that we have four cities that will be participating in flag raising ceremonies.
Which cities is that?
Absolutely. We have the city of Louisville, we have the town of Erie, we have the city of Longmont, and we have the city of Boulder. Okay. So those flag raising ceremonies are going to happen on June 16th and June 17th, with Louisville and Erie being on the 16th. And Longmont and Boulder being on the 17th.
Before you go on, what is a flag raising? What does that entail?
Absolutely. So there's actually a official flag for Juneteenth. And that flag, when we think about it, the flag does represent a symbol of freedom. And so you have the arc on the flag, and that is representing a new horizon, meaning fresh opportunities and promising futures for Black Americans. There's a star on the flag. So not only is it a nod to the Lone Star State, where obviously Juneteenth was first celebrated, but it also stands for freedom of every Black American in all 50 states. And then there's a burst on that flag as well. And that outlines the star, and it's meant to reflect a nova or a new star, which represents the new beginning for all as we think about the end of slavery. So by raising that flag, we are acknowledging Juneteenth. And by having these cities participate in that flag raising ceremonies, it's a symbol that these cities are acknowledging Juneteenth and the history of Black Americans here in America.
And what else is going to be going on during the 5 days?
So then after our flag raising ceremonies, we're going to have our youth development art workshops. Because again, we want to keep on, as Ms. James had mentioned, you know, being that support in that village for our Black youth here in the Boulder Valley. So we're gonna have some youth development workshops where they can participate in African dancing, African drumming, and then singing, right? So it's gonna be a full day workshop. And these workshops are not led by folks like myself. You know, we have some talented folks. These are some folks who have worked with professional artists. And then we have some professional African drummers who are gonna be coming in and leading these workshops. And then we're gonna have some folks who are professionals with African dancing gonna be leading these workshops. So we have some great folks in the Boulder Valley who's gonna be leading these art workshops for our youth. And the community can come watch them in the showcase, right? So not only is it a full day workshop of learning these skills, but then we're gonna showcase that out to the community, all happening at Longmont Museum on Saturday, June 18th. So that's happening over at the Longmont Museum. On Sunday, the official day of Juneteenth, June 19th, we're gonna have the outdoor community celebration, which is being organized by Longmont City Councilperson Shakita Yarbrough. And that's gonna be a special guest speaker to that is gonna be Congressman Joe Noguse, who's gonna be there on that day. And then on Monday, the official day, the first day that Juneteenth is being recognized as a national holiday, we have that Juneteenth celebration of Black excellence featuring the Boulder Valley School District and the St. Vrain Valley School District graduates, as Alicia just talked about. So that's happening on Monday.
Okay.
June 20th.
I want to come back to that because I just want us to go a little deeper in talking about these Black high school graduates. And Alicia, you alluded to some of the stress, you used the word trauma, just some of the challenges overall that some of these students may have experienced during their 12 years if they attended Boulder Valley or St. Vrain Valley schools their entire academic career. Could you speak to that a bit, just in terms of what we want to make certain people understand as far as the lived experiences of some of these young people?
I can talk about some of the things that I've seen just in the 2 years I've been education chair. I know that I was actually thinking about this last week. This time last year, I was working on a letter to St. Vrain Valley School District addressing the reenactment of the murder of George Floyd in the Meade High School parking lot. That was in May of 2021. A month prior, we were working on addressing an issue in a Boulder Valley K through 8 school where a cohort of teachers gave an assignment to its students asking them to write an essay on the pros and cons of slavery. And even when we brought it to their attention, it wasn't an immediate, oh, or it was a mistake, we're going to quickly fix it. There was a lot of sort of going back and forth about, well, it was well-intentioned and kind of sort of trying to prove why that was okay. I am constantly getting phone calls and emails from students, teachers, parents, community members about incidents where we're hearing children as early as second and fourth grade using the N-word, Black girls being told that because they're Black, that they are not beautiful. I know just my own real experience when I enrolled my oldest son in preschool. I think it was maybe 3 months in when he came home and told me that his skin was too dark and his hair was too Black and his skin was too brown and he didn't want to be a Black child anymore. So when I really try to focus on that trauma, the social emotional impact that this education, the school districts, this experience that we send our children into, it has a terrible effect. And I think it was actually you in a meeting that I went to that you said, when these babies come to you, they're broken, they're hurt, they're in pain. They don't really know themselves in ways. And I think I empathize in a lot of ways coming from my own experience in a primarily white school district in a primarily white community. And now, as I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, having to sort of learn who I am, my history, my identity, and how to love myself in my 30s, because the school district does not honor and value and respect And I think that's a big piece to respect our Black children. Mm-hmm. And so I think all of those things we want so badly and will be doing going forward to make sure that as we address these issues in school, we also are putting an emphasis on our children's mental health.
Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like this celebration on Monday, the 20th, is in part to honor and just show some love.
It is. And if I can just share one last story, this happened after. So this is, as I've said multiple times and will always say, this would not be here without Annette's, constantly asking for it and cheering for it, like her belief in it and just support of it. But I think what really made this work resonate with me, and less of it being sort of checking it off for my boss sort of kind of feeling sometimes in me, was a meeting that I went to where a student, a Black student who I think is a junior in one of the schools, was in a meeting where we were talking about some incredibly heavy, really painful things that were occurring in the schools. And it was not easy for anyone. I mean, there were tears coming from adults in that meeting. And what he said at the end was how happy he was to be there, because it was the first time that he'd been in a space and seen so many Black faces, so many people that looked like him, and how much that meant to him, how much he valued that experience. And I heard it and I appreciated it and I understood it, because it's so rare where we are not the only or the one or tokenized in some way, or even when we're needed and wanted, we're still sort of dealing with the microaggressions that are just that come with living in this space. He was just so happy to be there, and it just didn't seem, I wanted, I guess, to create an opportunity where he could feel that way. And an event that was centered around loving and honoring and joy and magic and all of the things that I think make us who we are and beautiful and strong, and not talking about our pain and our trauma and our hurt. I think that's the intent. When Annette pushes and champions for this, I think that that's the heart and soul behind this. And I think maybe that's what I'm trying to say is, it was that moment when it clicked for me of why it's so important that we do this, and why I think we're so honored to be able to do it on Juneteenth, a day where we are, like, as Dr. Taylor said, is we're celebrating.
Thank you. So by way of wrapping up, I've got a question for everyone. And Alicia, the question is kind of influenced by something you just said. So Dr. DeAndre, I'm going to start with you. What do you want Juneteenth 2022, what do you want Juneteenth celebrants, what do you want them to feel?
Pride. And the reason why, that was the first thing that came to mind, because I always felt pride when I went to Juneteenth, mm-hmm. because it was always about Black excellence. And as we think about African Americans, Black Americans in this country, we have a long history. But Juneteenth is a moment that Black folks have always celebrated it. And Annette, when you mentioned that your hometown celebrates on May 8th, I mean, that's incredible. I want to have a conversation with you about that, because I think that's awesome and beautiful. There's a lot of history behind that. So we've always celebrated Juneteenth. This is nothing new to us, because it's always been a part of our history. But now that the nation has acknowledged it as an official holiday, we want to be proud of that. Because it's giving deference to what we have provided to this country for many years, for many centuries. And it doesn't stop there. In the words of Ms. Opal Lee, Juneteenth becoming a national holiday does not stop the fight, does not stop the efforts, does not stop what we are destined to do. So I want folks to take away pride. If you're Black in the Boulder Valley, be proud of our history, because our history is American history. And if you're not Black, be proud of American history. And Juneteenth is American history. We can celebrate American history. So that's what I want folks to take away from Boulder Valley's second year of celebrating Juneteenth.
Thank you so much. Annette, what do you want, or hope perhaps, celebrants to feel? Juneteenth celebrants, what do you want them to walk away with essentially?
Now that's such a good question. And I love what Dr. Taylor said. Because he said some of the same words that one of the enslaved people in Galveston said when they learned through General Order Number 3. So this pride, right? So I would encourage people to read the slave narratives and listen and both read them and just hear those voices and those, see those words of what the people felt, you know, when they learned of this. You know, they're saying, just like that, we're free. You know, it's so emotional. It's, you know, it's things that they had hoped for, that they had prayed for, and finally it had happened, right? So this was, I think, I want people to walk away feeling that kind of excitement, that kind of manifesting of something that you dreamed about, prayed about, hoped for, died for, but maybe not truly believed was ever going to happen. So I want people to just be in that moment of what is that emotion? Like hope against hope, as they say in the Black community. Yeah, I want everyone to take that away, Black people and white people. You know, one of the enslaved people said something really interesting I was reading. He said, Juneteenth made us feel pride. It made us feel proud, but it didn't make us rich. So I think when we start to look at what we feel, we got to celebrate and honor that moment. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, on June 21st, we got to start thinking about how do we fulfill the promise of Juneteenth.
Love that. Thank you so much. Ms. Alicia, what is it that you are hoping Juneteenth celebrants take away? What do you hope they feel?
Joy. And I hope they feel that feeling that that student explained in that meeting, but in a way that I think feels more authentic and isn't sort of surrounded by what I sometimes feel almost feels standard and default for us, which is trauma and pain. And so I love the idea of it being our community and us coming together, and it almost also being something that we know will be here every year, that it isn't something that we just did this year, but that our seniors, our graduating students can expect every year, that our community can expect every year. And so I love the idea of that pride, but I think when I look at it, what we in our community needs is that sense that they know we're here and that it will be here for them, and the joy and the opportunity to celebrate together will be here. So I guess that's what I'm the most excited about is this year, but the years to come and the traditions that we're creating for our students and our youth going forward.
Mm-hmm. You know, Miss Madeline had to bow out for a moment or two, so we may miss her words, but I think she would agree with all of you. And the sentiments each and every one of you has expressed. Please know that the Boulder County Juneteenth celebration calendar will be posted on the KGNU website. We will make certain. So again, remembering that this is going to be a 5-day event beginning on Thursday, June the 16th, ending on Monday, June the 20th, and maybe ending is not the right word. Maybe it's more of a commemoration. Maybe we are just getting started. So we'll put it that way, that again, the doors will open, we will walk out and continue the work that we've started and continue the work that was started before we were thought about. So with that, I'd like to thank you, Dr. DeAndre Taylor, you, Alicia Graves, you, Annette James, in absentia, Ms. Madeline Woodley, and thank you all for coming on the show today and telling us not only what to expect as far as the actual events and series of events that will make up this year's Juneteenth, but also speaking from your hearts and telling us what Juneteenth means to you and what you hope it means to those who come out to celebrate. And this is open to everyone, folks. This is a celebration that's open and available to each and every one of you. So we'll look forward to seeing you, if not on the 16th, the 17th, the 18th. If you can't make it on the 19th, we'll absolutely look forward to seeing you on the 20th. So with that, Thank you again. And I'll look forward to speaking to you, KGNU listeners, the next time. Remember, Black Talk comes up every second Thursday of the month, and we'll look forward to talking again.
Mama, dear mama, look in yonder tree. See that pretty little sparrow looking back at me. She can soar above the clouds, way up in the sky. She can fly away from here.